Good afternoon. It's 12:07, and this is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you for this Thursday edition of our program. It's the outer spaces portion of our show, and we hope to hear from you today. If you have a plant or garden question, call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. After a very busy, another very busy weekend, Mother's Day, Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florists is back in with us. Doug, how you doing?
Yeah, and the weather is still great, so it's still busy. I mean, it's hard for me to even break away to come here today, and I was talking to people that were in shopping this morning, and they said, well, I listened to you on the radio, and I said, well, I'll be there today at noon. Now, I don't think I left the place till 20 minutes to 12. So, I mean, you know, I was hoping no trains. I have to go over two train tracks on the way here, and inevitably they have a train on them, you know.
Well, we're glad you were able to make
we
it.
We made it.
We're glad there were no trains, and we're looking forward to a good discussion today. And Doug, I got to say, you mentioned it there. The weather has been absolutely perfect after we got off to kind of a wet start to the season, really.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of folks were maybe a little bit behind. Starting to get caught up now.
Yeah, it's dried out a little bit. You know, we had a lot of rain there for a while, and then the winds blow. That helps to dry things out. The farmers should be on schedule, I should imagine. And, you know, everything's just perfect. The weather is better than the predictions. You know, they predict highs in the 70s, and then we hit 86. I think yesterday we hit 87. Well, my phone said it was going to be 79 for a high yesterday, and we hit 87.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just been better than predicted, and so it's just ideal for gardeners. Once we got past that Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday night, Monday morning, they were talking freeze warnings. Luckily, they were off by a little bit there because it did drop down to 35 for a very short time, which is very close to freezing, and that is not a good thing at all.
No.
So, but, you know, we watch the weather, and, man, the forecast for the next several days is very good.
Yeah, I think we have a chance of rain very briefly Friday night and Saturday, but up until then and afterwards, so we're looking at high 70s, you know, low 80s, and gosh, I just can't think of anything better.
So if
folks are trying to get caught up, maybe they weren't able to get out. Is it all systems go now? Whatever you want to get going,
it's all go. I don't see any reason not to plant tomatoes and peppers now. You know, the old tradition was you can't do it. Well, the really old tradition was you don't plant anything till Memorial Day. Well, that's just crazy. There might not be anything left at Memorial Day. But the other one is you don't plant anything till after Mother's Day. How true that was this year, Mother's Day and that Monday morning were the coldest for this late in the season. And then, boom, we just go into this great stuff. So I think you're pretty safe to just plant anything. Even the melons and the squash, which is even the most sensitive of all, they're more sensitive than tomatoes and peppers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any reason, especially if you're planting them from seed.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of times melons and squash and cucumbers can just shove the seeds in the garden and they grow like fast.
Mm.
2 days they're popping through the ground. They're just incredibly fast.
I'll have to plant a few outside my apartment despite my landlord's restrictions. We want to hear from you today. How are you taking advantage of this lovely weather? Do you have any gardening tips you want to share with us? Any questions or comments? Maybe some early success stories. We'd love to hear those from you as well. How are your outer spaces doing? Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we should let you know that if you give us a call right now, you'll be the first one on the air, and we'll get you right on.
So. Ooh, the first.
That's right.
Well, I could say as far as trimming goes now, you know, we're in the season. We're in it. And some people maybe didn't get around to doing some pruning that they wanted to do. You can prune rose bushes just about any time you want. The proper time to do it would be in April. But if you didn't get around to it, there's no reason you can't still prune drastically or sparingly. What we call, I forgot what I call it, but anyway... Anyway, you can prune these things, and it's just going to set them back a little bit. But roses bloom all summer, so no problem there. But stay away from cutting back anything that's going to bloom pretty soon. If you haven't trimmed your hydrangeas back from last winter, don't wait anymore. Get it done, because here's what happens. As winter goes through, you get these really long stems, and they're brown, and they look dead. And then come spring, those big dead stems start popping little growth out all up and down those dead stems. They're not really dead. And so when that happens, now people see all that growth and they refuse to prune them anymore. You have to prune them. There's such a thing as too much growth. And if you leave all that on there, you're going to have too much growth and no flowers. What do you want? Flowers, I would imagine. So it's still not too late to go down, probably 3/4 of the way down those stems and cut them. And there's more green growth down below. That's what you want to get going.
Yeah, and make sure there's room for the new growth and the plant has enough energy for the
new
growth.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, if you keep those long stems on there, you are really not doing your plant a favor.
We want to hear from you today. Do you have a plant or garden question? Do you have an early success story, maybe a tip that you want to share with us during this program and share with our listeners as well? We want to hear from you. 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall as well. That's facebook.com/middaymatters, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And looks like we have our first caller on the line here, so let's open the phones and go to Bruce. Bruce, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Repeat Bruce.
Caller, Doug.
Yes.
It's still alive.
Yes, can you believe it? You know, this is the first time we've actually got to talk gardening in quite a few weeks. And then Sean and I both played hooky last week. We were both gone.
Well, I've called in before, and I had an heirloom tomato plant that I brought in from the winter, and it's still alive.
There you go. Well, you know, people don't realize, but tomatoes are a perennial, but they're what we call a soft perennial, which means they can't survive winter. But if a person wanted to bring it in and keep it going, it is humanly possible. It's not advisable because you can't stop it from growing generally. They grow up to the ceiling.
Yeah, but it's had a southerly window and just enough sun, I guess, to keep her going.
Well, cool. How's it look, though,
general? What are the chances? Yeah, it's kind of a little on the scrawny side.
Yeah,
but
that's what I think.
What are the chances of putting it back outside?
Well, put it outside, and you know what I would do? I would cut it at least in half, if not cut 2/3 off.
Okay.
And what'll happen is it'll send some branches out, and you'll have a bushy tomato plant. And bushy tomato plants like that will generally give you plenty of tomatoes. They may not be as big as what the brand is supposed to be, but you get plenty of tomatoes, and they're still tasty. And otherwise, you can't. It's like a cactus that grows in the wintertime. It gets real thin. A cactus will grow thick in the summer in the sun, and then it goes to thin in the winter, and then it gets thick again in the summer. And then there's no way to make that thin part thick again. And so basically you need to cut that off and just make it a bushy tomato.
Oh, okay.
You could do it.
Okay.
I would do it that way.
I actually had picked up a clematis and just kind of going through the tag here. It really doesn't say where to plant these, how much sun.
Well, clematis really like it in a sunny location as long as they get at least half a day of sun. Afternoon sun's really the best. And the thing about them is they love to be planted in the sun, but yet the root system likes to be kept cool. So it's pretty important to mulch around a clematis. And you can mulch with mulch. That's obvious.
Okay.
You can mulch with composted material. And that works real well and helps keep the moisture down there and keep the root system cool while the plant's growing. And that's what they like. And, of course, the composted material will add nutrients to the plant. Organically, naturally, right.
And I was—that's what I was going to ask about the fertilization.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would use probably, you could throw a small handful of bone meal down around the base of that before you put the mulch on it. And then you could also add granulated fertilizer, which is very easy to do, and there's no mixing or mess. You just grab a small handful and sprinkle it around on the ground. Every time it rains, and when you water at the beginning of this time, it will fertilize the plant slowly and safely.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Well, very good.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bruce, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Have a good summer.
You too. Right.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment. Maybe you want to leave a tip with us, or you have a success story like it sounds like Bruce had there.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to share what's going on in your outer spaces, we'd love to hear that as well this hour. One more time, 800-471-9264, or you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. We have a break coming up in just a few minutes. After the break, we'll check out a few questions here on Facebook. First, though, we have another caller on the line. It's Rob. Rob, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, good to talk with you.
Hi, Rob.
I've got another tomato question.
Uh-huh.
We grow a lot of canning tomatoes. Over the years, Marglobe has been the one we've grown. It's kind of our family heirloom. We've also grown Rutgers tomatoes.
Mm-hmm, right.
Is there a newer variety that would be an improvement over those for kind of all-purpose canning tomatoes?
That's a funny question, because the brands that you're talking about are like really old, and they're getting to be very hard to find. Usually I have Rutgers, but Marglobe I can't even get a hold of anymore. But then the question is, are there any newer varieties? They're all newer. Everything's newer than Rutgers and Marglobe. And there's a lot of good ones that would grow and perform exactly like the Rutgers and Marglobe. So many. There's Health Kick, which they only call it that because there's ingredients in all tomatoes that are good for you. There's Ace tomatoes, and Celebrity tomatoes. A lot of these are very new, and they're so new that people are afraid to try them, and so they keep buying Big Boy and Better Boy. And by the way, Better Boy's the new variety. Big Boy's the old variety.
Yeah.
And I've told the story about Better Boy is the improved Big Boy, but they can't call it that.
Ace and Celebrity, though, would be good all-purpose.
Oh, yeah. Ace and Celebrity. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You betcha. And we do have Rutgers, too, so Rutgers works, too.
Yeah.
It's still popular, even though it's old.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of flats of Marglobes ready to go in, too.
There you go. Did you plant your own seeds?
Some years we have. This year we found them at that big greenhouse in New Haven.
Ah, yes. Uh-huh. Well, that's a tough variety. Yeah, it's a tough variety to find, Marglobe. But, tomatoes, yeah, I love them. What you want to stay away from, though, if you want a good eating, just a good eating, juicy type canning tomato, you want to stay away from the large ones like Big Boy, like Beefsteak and Beefmaster and Super Steak. However,
However,
those are fabulous tomatoes for eating. You slice them and put some blue cheese on them and vinegar and oil. And
I think you have a future in a cooking show.
Listen, when we take the break,
I'm going
shopping.
Rob, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264, or you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Of course, our Facebook page is up. Twitter feed is up as well. You can get in touch with us those ways as you please. We do need to take a quick break here. When we return, Fred has a question for us as well. And as I mentioned, we'll check out a few comments here on Facebook. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, why retirement security has for many people become retirement insecurity. We talk with Robert Hilton Smith about the hidden fees that come with 401ks and why young people are likely to retire with less than baby boomers. Hilton Smith is a policy analyst with the public policy organization Demos. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Robert Krulwich lives in a world of marvels, large and small, where moths drive cars, monkeys sip Mai Tais, and honeybees are better politicians than humans.
No Hitlers, no bullies, no queen telling you how to vote. The scouts just dance themselves into a kind of voting consensus.
I'm Neil Conan. We continue our series of conversations and look ahead with Robert Krulwich, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
This was Daft Punk. Now the electronic dance duo says technology isn't everything.
What was really lacking to us is the soul that a musician can bring.
Daft Punk, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
It's time to meet music.
Hi, I'm Julia Macon. What's up on this week's Meet the Music? Classical goodness from the Feldman-Mossberg Quartet, John Feldman's solo acoustic originals, and solid gold soul and R&B with Influx. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
Well, 24. It's Midday Matters here on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this absolutely gorgeous Thursday afternoon. With me, of course, Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist. Thanks very much for being with us, for surviving last weekend, last week.
Yeah, it's a good one. Memorial Day's coming up pretty soon, and it's a good one, too, but it starts to be the finalization of the whole thing.
Sure. We, of course, are taking your plant and garden questions. We want your suggestions as well, and if you have any early success stories in this season, we'd love to hear those as well. Share your stories at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We had a post on Facebook from Elizabeth. Elizabeth posted a few photos here asking if we could try to identify what this plant is in her yard. And Doug, could you just describe it a little bit for us here?
Well, it's a vine with yellow flowers, and unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some viewers that can get on Facebook here and see that could probably identify it.
Yeah.
And we grow and sell a zillion types of vines, but I'm not familiar with that. And then the white part looks like baby's breath, but mm-hmm. It can't be. I just don't. It doesn't grow that great, you know.
If you're interested in being a detective today, you can head to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. You'll be able to see Elizabeth's photographs there, and maybe you can give us a hand in identifying what exactly we have on our hands. So,
yeah.
Sorry we couldn't get to it right away, Elizabeth. Hopefully our listeners can give us a hand with it this hour.
Maybe by the end of the show, sure.
Sure. And, of course, if you'd like to call with your answer to that problem, it's 800-471-9264. We have a caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Fred. Fred, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Hi, Fred.
I have placed on the front steps a couple of 12-inch clay plots
mm-hmm.
that I've filled with pure potting soil, and I'm trying to grow some morning glories out of that. And I put under it the plastic bases to them.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you, what is best to water from the top or from the bottom in those plastic containers.
With those morning glories and that, I would water from the top always.
Well, when I water from the top, I create ridges in there, which will make the soil raise above the seeds, and mm-hmm. I'm afraid they won't germinate.
Well, they will. I'll tell you, it'd be pretty hard not to get a morning glory to germinate. But I don't know, do you have a breaker on your hose? Because I'll tell you the truth, we never ever water without a breaker because it makes a nice soft fan effect. And I had a gal in the other day that was buying this one that was for sale, and it was a small breaker. I said, ma'am, don't buy that, please. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, those small breakers are horrible. You can't get any water flow through them. If you turn the water on hard, it comes out in a stinging hard spray. And I said, buy the regular normal size. In fact, I said, just take that one off and get a regular one. I won't charge you any extra for it because I couldn't stand to see her take it. Well, then we finally worked it out. She could take them both. I said, I don't even want that little one anyway, so take them both. And then come back someday and tell me which one you like best. But a breaker, a regular size watering wand breaker, will give you the best watering effect humanly possible. And you can water, and you shouldn't get ridges. If the soil wants to float or something, well, it's not wet enough. So water it fast and then let it soak in, come back, water it again, maybe three times. But you should only ever have to do that right in the beginning. Once you get it wet, it should stay wet and compacted. I hate to ask this question, but the potting soil that you used, it's such a phrase, potting soil. It could be anything. It could be the inexpensive $3.99 bag of potting soil that's 40 pounds. That's not great stuff. It could be the expensive like Metro Mix, which is about $20 a bag. That's great stuff.
As I remember, Doug, it was Miracle-Gro's.
Well, that's similar.
4 or 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's similar to the Miracle-Gro. The Metro Mix. So it's similar, and so it would probably be okay. And then it's not something that people do, but to improve Miracle-Gro, you add the cheap topsoil or potting soil to that. And that gives it a little bit of weight and substance, because sometimes those artificial mixes are just too light, and definitely the inexpensive potting soils are too heavy. And so a mix of the two is like ideal. Most people don't mix them. So if I was going to use just one or the other, it would be like what you bought, the Miracle-Gro or the Metro Mix or some artificial soil. We have been using it now for at least 18 years. And we love it.
Again, your recommendation is water from the top only.
Water from the top. Yeah, and if you ever get a saucer full of water, you might have to dump that out. But that would happen probably after a really hard rain.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is not any fault of yours. But, in the greenhouse industry, we don't use saucers. They're on the hanging baskets because they just are. But they're made in such a way. See, a saucer is a funny thing. People think because there's a saucer there, it can't drip. A saucer only holds so much water, and on a hanging basket, those little thin saucers don't hold a lot. So
I'm just trying to get away from dragging the hose around every morning.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I would mix up some fertilizer in a big 5-gallon bucket and just keep it someplace hidden behind the bushes or something. Just pull it up and dump it on. Now, when you do that, you don't have a breaker. Obviously, but once the soil gets settled, a breaker is not as important. You could mm-hmm. dump a bucket in there and not have a problem. But right away in the beginning, that soil will just move on you. You'll drill holes in it and everything else. So, but watering from the bottom, especially in a large pot, probably won't work.
Okay.
In a small pot, it works, like with African violets. It would work. But in a large pot, it's pretty tough to water from the bottom.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
You bet.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day. All right, bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number to call if you have a question, a comment, a success story, maybe a tip that you want to share with us this hour. You can always email us, of course, middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Another caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Doug. Doug, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi, Doug.
Yes, hello.
Good. How are you? What's up?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call and enjoy the show a lot.
Thank you.
I've got a question about growing tomatoes in a container.
And growing tomatoes in a container. Yes.
And using potting soil, and a lot of it is probably related to previous callers' issues, but I've been growing tomatoes around Fort Wayne for 20-some years, mm-hmm. and where I'm at now, I've got some raised beds that I've built over the years and added various soil mixes, compost and stuff to them to build them up. But I've never had a lot of success with tomatoes in those beds because of disease eventually taking a serious toll
mm-hmm.
on their health, and I've never quite figured out what to do. I've had really serious failures throughout those beds over the years, and even in when I stuck some plants in my clay soil in the back of the yard, those tomatoes also eventually succumbed to a lot of serious diseases.
Right.
That didn't wipe them out, but really impacted their production. So last year I took some pots, some patio containers that were probably about 5 gallons size, and filled them with Miracle-Gro potting mix
mm-hmm.
and stuck some of these tomato plants in them. And they just turned out just gorgeous and didn't have a speck of disease on them.
Cool.
And I put my big cages around them, and they got up about, probably 5 feet tall.
Wow.
And just produced tremendous tomatoes. But in the heat last year, it got to be a real challenge keeping them watered.
Sure, I bet it did.
And but so I'm trying to figure out, I kind of like, growing them like that.
Well, I want to give you a tip and Fred a tip. Fred was the last caller. I was going to say this. One way to keep that soil moist longer without extra effort, this is going to sound funny, but you can go out and buy Pampers diapers, and you can bury one or two Pampers diapers most of the way down and toward the bottom of the pot. And those diapers will absorb moisture. And they'll keep your soil wet for a long time without being too wet.
You mean take the diapers and soak them with water?
You don't have to soak them. Just put them down in the bottom. As you're filling the pot up with soil, you just put the diaper, get a thin layer of soil, then put the diaper down, and then fill it up the rest of the way with soil. And those diapers will stay wet when you water for a very long time. It's a great way to keep moisture in your pot. I've seen people do it in large hanging baskets too. And you don't see it because it's under the soil. It works really well. So
that's great, because I really thought this might be a solution to my disease issues, apparently.
Right. Well, and it's tough to grow tomatoes in a pot. It was interesting to me that you said it was approximately a 5 gallon pot and you put tomatoes in there, because to me a 5 gallon pot is only big enough for one tomato plant. So how many
that's all I put.
Good, that makes sense. Sense
I had 3 or 4 pots and they all were just beautiful, but it just, once they got to be fully grown, it got to be a challenge.
They will completely fill that pot up with roots to the point where there's literally no dirt left. If you took that out and late in the season, you would not hardly find any dirt in there at all. It'd be solid roots, and that's what happens. And when you have to water later in the season and you have to water a lot, that's when you really need to pour on the fertilizer more so, okay, because every time you water with water, you're leeching the soil and the nutrients out. Oh, yeah. So as you
often mix some Miracle-Gro.
Yeah,
with it.
Yeah, that's the thing to do, is do it often, almost every time you water late in the season, in order to keep the nutrients going. This will give you bigger and healthier tomatoes.
Yeah, the disease issues I had in my bags must have been highly related to the soils.
Right.
I just had so many failures.
One last tip, and then we got to go, but you could put straw on top of your pot, too, when you plant that tomato, and that keeps the rain from splashing the bacteria up onto the plants. It keeps even when you water from splashing it up on the plants. And that's key in keeping tomatoes healthy, keeping the splashing away.
I've tried to keep them mulched, the tomatoes in my yard and my garden bed, but I just have really been frustrated by disease. I know the weather's been screwy, but this has really been frustrating, and that's why I tried the pots with the Miracle-Gro.
Well, let's hope for not a drought this year and a more normal weather pattern. That would be
great.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it seems so far it's more normal, so that's good.
Well, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the show.
You bet.
And, good luck, Doug. Thanks very much for the call. And we do need to take just a quick break here. When we return, Gloria has been on the line with us. Gloria, I hope you'll stay with us for just a few more minutes. And we'll hear from Steve, who posted a question on Facebook. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, why retirement security has for many people become retirement insecurity. We talk with Robert Hilton Smith about the hidden fees that come with 401ks and why young people are likely to retire with less than baby boomers. Hilton Smith is a policy analyst with the public policy organization Demos. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. The American Legion is planning a town hall meeting next week on the quality of health care that veterans receive at the Department of Veterans Affairs Northern Indiana Healthcare System in Fort Wayne. Legion officials say they plan to visit the medical center Tuesday to interview patients, staff, and administrators as part of its annual evaluation of the care veterans receive. Legion officials also visited the Fort Wayne area in December. Veterans receiving health care from the VA are encouraged to take part in a 6:30 p.m. town hall at Legion Post 148 in Fort Wayne. Members of all veterans service organizations are invited. A Legion task force compiles an annual report based on its findings and submits it to Congress, the White House, and top VA officials. For Alan Dunnigan and other members of the Miami Nation of Indians of the state of Indiana, changes under the federal health care overhaul amount to another slight. As members of a Native American tribe not recognized by the federal government, he and others like him may have to pay a fine of hundreds of dollars if they're uninsured under the nation's health care law. Dunnigan, a member of the tribal council and the director of a tribal food bank in Peru, is one of six employees of an operation that also operates a daycare. As a small not-for-profit, they do not have health insurance. He is one of about 3,000 Miamis of Indiana still living in this state. Many live in Miami County and other north-central Indiana counties. Ball State University officials Wednesday made their final decision to revoke their sponsorship of five charter schools they see as underperforming. As State Impact Indiana's Kyle Stokes reports, the schools will need to find new authorizers if they wish to remain open.
If they don't find new authorizers, more charters will close at the end of this school year than in all 12 years Indiana's charter school law has been on the books combined. The schools are Imagine Indiana Life Sciences Academy East in Indianapolis, Imagine Master and Imagine Schools on Broadway in Fort Wayne, Lead College Prep in Gary, and Chrisman STEM Academy in Richmond. Two other schools also withdrew their applications. institutions. Those who defend the charter schools say they work with underserved and underprivileged students. But Ball State officials decided in January to revoke the charters because they say the school's leaders weren't meeting the academic goals they themselves laid out in their founding documents. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Kyle Stokes.
And taking a quick look at the WBOY weather forecast, today expecting nothing but sunshine with a high near 79. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 53. And on Friday, it looks like we'll see partly sunny skies with a high near 78. Overnight on Friday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low of 56. You're listening to 89.1 FM, WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters.
It's 12:42. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program, and we want to hear from you today. If you have a plant or garden comment or question for Doug Hackbarth, you can always ring us at 800-471-9264. Of course, we have our email up, middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. I'm Sean Beter, along with the aforementioned Doug Hackbarth. And Doug, we have a very patient caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Gloria. Gloria, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello. Yes, Doug, I have a dogwood bush that has some black spots on the leaves. And I'm wondering if it's a mold or if they're susceptible to mold, and if so, what should I do about it?
Well, they certainly could be susceptible to powdery mildew, but I doubt that it would have that at this time. They're blooming right now, so they really don't have a lot of leaves, but you have some leaves with black spots. Are they new leaves or last year's leaves?
They're new leaves. Variegated type with the leaf is a pale green with white edges.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it is variegated then, yes. Well, it's probably some form of bacteria, and at least like a rose gets a thing, they call it black spot disease. And this is the kind of thing that as we get into dry, hot weather, it will not spread. It spreads during damp and cool weather and humid weather, and then what would happen is later in the season with rose bushes and a lot of plants, lilacs do this. What happens is later in the season when we peak the hot summer and start to move toward fall, then all of a sudden you might wake up to foggy weather. Foggy weather will cause this, and especially if we have rain and cool downs, that can cause it. And of course, we did have a rain last night. Did you know that?
I did. My windows were open on my car. So.
Yeah, I was just shocked. Oh, your window all night?
Not all night. I closed them.
But who'd have thought it was going to rain, right? I was just shocked. I was watching the news, and all of a sudden, it's raining out. I heard lightning or thunder. Yeah. You don't hear lightning, but
you're saying that that moisture is causing a bit of trouble, though.
It can do that. It actually cooled the air down a little bit, so that's why we feel better today than yesterday. But the humidity's high. It's 80% this morning, I know. Yeah. And so this is the kind of thing. And you can prevent it by simply spraying with fungicides. But, you know, a lot of people don't use fungicides. They just don't understand them. And yet they use fertilizers and seem to understand fine, and there isn't much difference. Fungicides can be applied as a granule. They can be as a dust. You can dust the plants. That's a hard thing to do, though, dusting, because unless you have an official duster, it's hard to get the dust to come out fine. You don't want it coming out clumpy. And so how do you do it? I don't know. I guess if it were me and I had nothing else to do and you're talking about a that tree, I think that dogwood, now this is me, okay, just me, you don't have to do this, but I would take handfuls and just throw it in the air right up toward the plant and let it glide down and fall lightly onto the leaves, but make sure you're standing upwind from it so that when you throw it, it doesn't blow in your face. So, you know, throw it downwind, but I would like to throw it, you know, throw it so that it fans out and doesn't hit the plant in big clumps, because that's not good either. And you can put it in a container and mix it with water. And the idea of that is that it doesn't dissolve like sugar would dissolve. What it does is it mixes with water. You squirt it on, the water evaporates, and what's left is the dust. You see, because it doesn't dissolve. So that's really putting it on fine. And that's supposed to work too. But boy, if you're having problems, you'd have to do that fairly often, a couple times a week at least in the beginning. But once it gets dry and hot, you can stop.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And Gloria, thank you for the call. Have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment for Doug Hackbarth. Just about 15 minutes left in the show, so if you have one, we hope you get it in soon. You can always, of course, email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can tweet us at Midday Matters, or if you'd like, you can check out our Facebook page where we have posted those photos from Elizabeth. We are hoping for you to do a little detective work. She wants to know what plant she has on her hands there. So we did have a question a few minutes ago from Steve. Steve says, hey there, Doug. I'm very new to gardening. I would love suggestions for easy to maintain, inexpensive plants and flowers to add some color in the front yard, in the front of my house, as well as our raised garden in the back. Thanks. Love, Thursday Midday Matters.
Great. Well, there's a lot of things you can do as a beginner gardener, but always first off, you got to plant at least two tomato plants. You have to start with tomatoes because...
Now, we should say Doug's biased because he adores tomatoes.
I love tomato plants. I mean, you can't buy a good tomato. You have to grow it. So you should start with tomatoes. I mean, just... And there's so many varieties, you know. You get a catalog out and read about them. Some are early, some are late. The late ones are really some of the tastier ones, but they're late. You have to wait. So you have to plant late ones, and then you have to plant some earlier ones. So that while you're waiting, you have some tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So this is important. But then peppers would be the next thing. If you like peppers, my wife loves them. I don't particularly care for them. I like jalapenos. And they're relatively easy to grow. Things that might be a little more difficult, though, would be eggplant. Mm-hmm. Broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage. Everybody likes broccoli and cauliflower. I like it when it's in the freezer shelf because I've grown it many times, but I'm telling you, you can't hardly grow that stuff and not get those worms on it.
Yeah.
Those worms are there and you can't see them. They just blend with the broccoli itself, and so you have to boil salt water, drop them in there, and I mean, I can inspect, and drop them in there and think, there's no worms in there. And 8 or 10 worms come floating to the top, and I'm like, really?
Nature's pretty persistent.
Those were there, I couldn't see them. So I take it out, dump the water out, get the water boiling again with salt water, drop them in again, ha, another 6 or 8 comes up. It's like, are you kidding me? It's unbelievable.
So I mean, a few basics, you know, tomatoes and peppers, things like that, maybe for the raised bed and back. What about some easy to take care of flowers, maybe for the front yard?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you know, there's a lot of scare about impatience right now. And is it warranted? Maybe. I did a lot of research earlier this week online about this impatience problem. It's the downy mildew. Now, you hear me talk about powdery mildew. Mm-hmm. It just looks like, you know, flour. It's powdery. But downy kind of grows. And of course, it's full of spores. Both of them are full of spores, and they get spread by, you asked which is easy, right? And I'm giving you all this stuff about impatience. But I don't know. Impatience is still easy. And until you have a problem, I would continue to grow them. It's the number one selling plant because it's easy, it's beautiful. You can grow it in the sun. However, you got to watch it closely because it needs watered if it's dry in the sun. Or you can grow it in a partially shaded area, which is really the best. It just fills out fast and it's good. Petunias, they're easy to grow too, but the regular petunias, after a while, they get tall and they start to fall over. Mm. And the only way to fix them is to cut them back and regrow them, which only takes 2 weeks. Well, it's relatively fast. But the wave petunias, Those are so simple to grow.
And patience, wave petunias.
Yes, all right. And grow begonias. Begonias, so far now, they're gonna end up being the number one plant over impatience because they also look great. They even like to be grown in full sun. They'll tolerate a good half day of shade or more. But you would think begonias would get the mildew, but I think the wax begonia doesn't seem to have the mildew problem. The Rieger begonia, which you may have heard of, sometimes that one can get mildew a lot quicker and easier. And then the talk about impatiens, back to impatiens quickly. So they're trying to say, well, grow New Guinea hybrid impatiens. They're not susceptible to this downy mildew problem. But New Guinea hybrid impatiens are expensive, and they don't grow like regular impatiens. They're just not the same thing. When you have them and they've got their big blooms on them, they're gigantic blossoms, they're beautiful, but they're harder to grow. So, before you decide, hey, I'm just going to grow all New Guineas, just remember, they're not as easy to grow as regular impatiens.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, good luck, and let us know how your garden develops this summer. We'd love to hear more about it. And you heard it here first. Begonia stock is rising. So
yeah,
there you
so.
Are.
Yeah.
In just a few moments, we'll chat about arborvitas and bagworms. First, though, we have a caller on the line. Let's see if we can open the phones and go to Mike. Mike, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay, I've got a quick question on growing a tree. I have a dwarf Korean lilac that has shoots growing out from the base of it. Is there any way of cutting those off and actually starting a new tree with them?
Probably not. You could, if it came out from actually underground, you might be able to dig it out. But it'd be pretty hard to cut it out with a little bit of root without damaging the main tree, especially right there at ground level. You'd want to be careful that you don't open it up and get bacteria into the tree. I'd be afraid of damaging the perfectly good tree trying to do that. But it could be done. I had lilacs when I was gardening in this other house, and I did that. It was more like a bush kind. It had a whole bunch of stems coming out of the ground. Well, I did divide that. I divided that into about a dozen plants. This was a monster shrub, though. I got in there and I dug and dug and just kept pulling out chunks of this thing, like little clumps, and I planted them in a long row, and they grew just fine. So yes, but if you have a tree that's shooting out those sprouts, they're not going to be a good thing to try.
Right, they're not coming out of the ground. They're actually coming out of the trunk.
Yeah. Just cut those off. You just got to get rid of those. Those suckers are not really a good thing to have.
Yeah, I've tried it, and it's very unsuccessful.
Yep. I suppose you could try to root stem cuttings off of the main tree. You don't want to root the ones where there's blossoms. So what you want to do is wait until it's finished blossoming, cut the dead flowers off. And then when it starts to branch out and you have little stems that say 4 to 6 inches long, you could cut those. And then I know you want me to say start them in water. We don't start anything in water. Start them in soil. It could be any kind of soil mixed with sand or perlite. Perlite is that little white stony thing. And you could get those rooted, and then you would have much better luck doing it. And you could root them right outside through the summer in little pots or in those little bedding plant trays or anything, just to get a root system started. And then eventually when you have roots, transplant them to bigger pots and then to the ground.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right.
Mike, good luck, and we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Doug, we have just about 5 minutes left in the program here and a few more questions to get to, so it's time for a bit of a lightning round. First, a comment from our friend Janet. Janet's regarding your diaper suggestion.
Yeah.
Says, couldn't you also place a cotton towel under the soil or just adding organic mulch? Would that work as well? Since diapers aren't necessarily the most environmentally sustainable option, are there other equally absorbent options that could work?
I suppose you could use towels. I think newspaper would be maybe the next best thing because it will deteriorate and be environmentally sound. So I would say newspaper. And you don't want to wad it up. You want to take thick sections of it and use it so it's almost like a diaper. The only difference between a diaper and a newspaper is, of course, it soaks all the way through, whereas a diaper soaks on one side and it stays dry on the outside, you know. So newspaper is a great option there, yeah.
Right. Janet, we appreciate the suggestion. We had a question from George. George left a message with us a bit earlier. He has an arborvita that has bagworms, he wondered what he can do to get rid of them.
Well, this is the beginning of bagworm season, and if you don't know what a bagworm looks like, folks, you look at your pine trees and your arborvitas in this case, and you look at other shrubbery, and it looks like a little pine cone that's left over from last year, a little dried up pine cone, but if you look at it closer, it's more wovenly tight. And it looks like a tight pine cone. And what that is that's the bag worm, and that is the bag, and inside of that is mini worms. And pretty soon, usually in June, they pop open, and the little worm starts coming out, you know, on a thread, like a spider web, but on a thread, and they will do tons and tons of damage to your plants. And bagworms are tough to get. The first thing you want to do is handpick them. As many as you can handpick, and then get soap and water or get summer oil and spray inside the tree branches. So if you have a little handheld sprayer that maybe you're holding it with your hands or you use the hose on type, go in and out of the tree, in and out of the tree, spraying up or down, I guess. It wouldn't much matter, but try to handpick as many as you can first, and I would do it soon.
Do it and get it going now.
Get it now before they start popping out of there.
Good idea. Yeah. Well, and George, very good luck. Hopefully you can get those things out of there before long.
Yep.
One more question here, and we have just about 2 minutes left in the show. Anita wrote in at middaymatters@nipr.fm, something we've mentioned on the program a whole lot. She wants to hear it again. What's your ratio for your famous lemon soap bug repellent? What kind of lemon soap should I use?
Lemon-scented soap. Now, I've said it's like lemon-scented joy, but you can use any generic brand of lemon-scented soap. Just don't use the antibacterial type, whether it's lemon scented or not. And probably 2 tablespoons to a gallon. So then what's that mean? It means a couple of teaspoons to a quart.
Just a very small amount.
Yeah, if you have a handheld quart thing, a couple of teaspoons to a quart, and try it.
Pop it in a spray bottle and let go?
Yep. And if you feel like it, add a little Tabasco sauce too.
Just for flavor.
Yeah, I mean, that tends to affect the insect as well. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, Anita, thanks very much for your question. Unfortunately, we are already out of time in this hour of Midday Matters. Big thanks to you, Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist. We appreciate your time as always.
That was a fast hour.
It always is. Thanks very much to everybody who got in touch with us this hour. To you for tuning in, I'm Sean Beter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1 and online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Fresh Air is coming up next. It's 1 o'clock. Have a great day. From W.